You can turn to the text for this morning's message in John chapter 6, verse 47 through 59, the same text as last week, the same text that we read early in our service again this week. Last week, we looked at the first half of that, verses 47 to 51. This week, the second half, verses 52 through 59. But before we consider our text, let's bow before our God in prayer once again. Let's pray. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, as we do come to your word this morning, our prayer, my prayer this morning is as it was last week, as we consider the bread of life, Christ. My prayer this morning for each one of us, Father, is that truly we would feed on Christ, feed on him, feed on the bread of life this morning through your word. And in so doing, we would know life, life in him. For we pray this in Christ's name, amen. Let's begin by being honest this morning. Let's begin by acknowledging something that is very clearly before us in our text today. And that is the words of our text today, at least some of the words of our text today, are difficult words, very difficult words. Consider verse 53. Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in him. Jesus here speaks of eating his flesh. Jesus speaks here of drinking his blood. Difficult words. Difficult words. And that was certainly the case for those who were listening, for the Jews who were listening to him. They certainly found, his listeners certainly found these words to be difficult words. Indeed, we see them objecting in verse 52. The first verse of our text today begins with an objection from the Jews who are listening. The Jews therefore quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" They make it clear there in verse 52 that they find these words at the very least to be difficult, and perhaps more so to be, can we say, offensive? Offensive to them. Now to the Jew, it would be especially the case that these words would be difficult. They would be perhaps even offensive. For the Jew who is conversant with the law, who understands the law, would, even as Jesus is saying these words, be thinking perhaps of Leviticus 17, verses 10 and 11. "And whatever man of the house of Israel, or of the strangers who dwell among you, who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood, and will cut him off from among his people. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, is in the blood." Therefore, once again, the Jews certainly, but each one of us needs to acknowledge at the outset that these are difficult words. These are difficult words that Jesus pronounces there. And therefore, the task for us this morning, as we delve into this text, is to determine what is it that Jesus means? What does he mean when he says these words and speaks of eating his flesh and drinking his blood? That's the question. That's the task for us this morning. As we move into our text this morning, we find that that objection that I read just moments ago from the Jews in verse 52, that objection really comes midway, roughly in the middle of our text for the last 2 weeks, verses 47 through 59 of John chapter 6. The objection kind of divides it into two halves. Last week, we looked at the first half, verses 47 through 51. This week, the second half, from this objection on, in verse 52 through 59. Last week, we considered the bread as Jesus focused, and therefore we focused primarily last week on the bread itself, the bread of life. That is, the provision of life in Christ was Jesus' focus, was our focus last week. But this week, Jesus focuses, and therefore we focus in this second half, Jesus focuses more on eating that bread, eating his flesh. That is, receiving this life that is in him. Last week, the life that is in him. This week, receiving the life that is in him. But to understand that, once again, our task is to determine what it is that Jesus means when he speaks of eating his flesh and drinking his blood. What does it mean as we launch into it then in verse 53 when Jesus says thus, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." Well, when we hear these words, perhaps for some of us, we immediately might think that what Jesus is saying here is he's making an allusion to a particular thing, and that is communion, the Lord's table. For as Jesus speaks here of eating his flesh, drinking his blood, perhaps we are hearing also those words of Scripture that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 11 when he speaks of the institution of the Lord's Supper. "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then also with a cup, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This bread is my body. This cup is my blood. Eat of it, drink of it," Jesus says there through the pen of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11. And perhaps we hear something of that when we read our text this morning and think this is Jesus speaking of communion and John the writer speaking of communion. But I don't think so. I don't think so for a few reasons, just briefly, very briefly. Number one, Jesus' audience here, including his disciples, know nothing yet, have no understanding of the Lord's table of communion. Also, John the writer, if he was writing of communion here through the words of Jesus, it would seem odd to me that later on in his gospel, unlike Matthew, Mark, and Luke, John makes no recording of the institution of the Lord's Supper. There is no further reference to it through the book of John. And therefore, if Jesus is speaking of the Lord's table here, if he is speaking of communion, if that is the meaning of these words, "Eat my flesh, drink my blood," then it would be a very strange, a very cryptic, difficult to understand lesson that he is giving us here. So no, I don't think he is speaking of communion here. Well, then again, we are left with a question. So let's move further. What is Jesus speaking of in this text as he particularly speaks of eating his flesh and drinking his blood? What is he referring to? Well, as always, I smile because the answer lies in the text. The answer, as always, lies in the text. And we must look there to find the answer. And we must recall, perhaps, and allow me to remind you, that at the beginning of this larger text of 47 through 59, the first half last week, the first verse of that last week, in verse 47, let me remind you that there in verse 47, Jesus gave the main point of the last 2 weeks, and then proceeded from there on to explain it more fully. Jesus gave the main point in verse 47, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." That was the main point, that there is life in him for those who believe. There is life in him for those who believe. And then from then on, he goes on from there and explains it more fully, including not only last week, but on into this week as he talks about eating his flesh, drinking his blood. Thus, eating his flesh and drinking his blood is a further explanation to this main point, that there is life for those who believe in him. Thus we have, just to hammer this point home, in verse 47, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life." And then down this week in the difficult words in verse 53, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you." So clearly, therefore, we have the answer. Clearly, the answer is eating Jesus' flesh, drinking his blood. As he gives us these difficult words, what do they mean? They mean, quite simply, believing in him, eating, drinking of Jesus is to believe in Jesus. Let's just walk through it from beginning to end very quickly here so that we understand this. Verse 51 last week is where Jesus identifies that this bread that he is talking about eating, that bread is his flesh. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Jesus identifies there that this bread that gives life is his flesh. The bread Jesus gives, the bread that provides eternal life, is his flesh. And he gives that flesh, he gives that bread on the cross of Calvary. He gives his flesh, he gives his blood as an atoning sacrifice for sin there. And that's why he speaks of giving it as such. He gives it there on the cross of Calvary. And then those who believe in him, those who trust in him, those who trust in that atoning work that he provides on the cross of Calvary, that he accomplishes on the cross of Calvary, those who believe, those who trust in him, those who eat of him, those who drink of him, have eternal life. Once again, eating is believing. Eating is believing. We move on. We move on, and let me address this point. For you are surely thinking this morning, and you are just too polite once again to say it, so I'm going to say it for you. This somewhat of an objection that is arising in your minds right now. And it goes something like this. Well, Jesus, that doesn't really help me very much. That doesn't really help me very much to speak of believing as eating your flesh and drinking your blood. For believing, I understand, but eating your flesh and drinking your blood, how does that help me understand believing? It doesn't help me understand it. Rather, it kind of muddies the waters a little bit. Why didn't you just leave it at believing? I get that. In other words, for us this morning, as we continue on, the question becomes, what does eating and drinking add to our understanding of believing? What does eating and drinking add to our understanding of believing? And that we shall see as we continue on. But to get you to see this as we continue on, and as we move on from verse 53 to verses 54 to 57 now, I first of all want to read verse 53 again with verse 54, but I'm going to read them this time from the ESV version, for there's something here that I want you to hear and see if you catch it. Verse 53 and 54 from the ESV. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Did you catch it? Did you hear it there? There is something that is in the original text that the ESV well captures, and I wanted you to hear there. So did you hear it? Did you catch it? And that is, as we move from verse 53 to 54, there is a different word. A different word for the thought of eating. In verse 53 and above, the original has a particular word that the ESV and our English translations capture as eating and translate as eating. But in verse 54, 56, and 57, as we move into that portion of our text, we find that there is a different word that is used there. And the ESV captures it by translating this different word, translating it differently. And it translates it as feeding or feeding on. So 53 and above, eating. 54, 56, 57, feeding or feeding on. So what's the difference? What's the difference between these two words? What's the difference in their meaning? Well, actually, not a whole lot. They mean fairly similar ideas. And even in our English Bibles, eating, feeding on, there's not a huge difference there in meaning. But there is something different. There is something different and significant that is not really caught so much in most of our English translations. And that is, not only does the word itself change, but the form of the word, the form of the verb, eating, feeding on, the form of that verb, the tense of that verb, and don't worry, we're not going to go heavy into grammar here, but the form of the word changes such that the word that is used and translated as eating in 53 and above has a particular tense that carries, and here we go, carries with it and expresses somewhat of a singular, somewhat of a one-time-only event or action. Whereas the word in 54, 56, 57 that is translated feeding has a particular tense that is more expressing continual action, ongoing action. So we have singular one-time action in eating. We have in 54 and below, 54, 56, 57, an ongoing, continual feeding. And both of these are true. Both of these are true of the believer, aren't they? For the believer in Christ recognizes that there was that singular time, that one-time event, if you will, where by faith they passed, through believing they passed, from death unto life. From death unto life. That there was that time where, through the working of the Holy Spirit in regeneration, in the new birth, John chapter 3, through the drawing of the Father, drawing us to the Son, John chapter 6, verse 44, that there was this time where, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the drawing of the Father, we came by faith, we came believing to Christ, and passed from death unto life. Even as John 6, 47 said last week, at the outset of this text, this two-week text, and the main point, once again in 47, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. But the believer also recognizes something else. They also recognize the continual feeding in their lives, the continual believing, the continual feeding on Christ. Indeed, it is my hope, it is my prayer that that's exactly what's going on now. That as we are looking at the Word, and I prayed thus at the beginning, therefore, that as we are looking at the Word, even now, that we are feeding on Christ. This activity, this ongoing activity, as well as the eating, both of these activities are by faith, by believing. They are things that are by faith, by believing. But now, as we combine these word pictures and move forth in the text, and hear me, now we are beginning to see, and we'll see further in these combined word pictures of one-time eating, of continual feeding, we will begin to see now how eating, how feeding on, that word picture does indeed help us to understand what it means for the believer to believe. Help us understand in deeper ways belief and faith. So let's continue on and do so. I'm going to identify, although there may be many more, I'm going to identify simply three ways that this word picture of eating and feeding on helps us understand believing, helps us understand faith. Number one, first of all, eating speaks of an appetite. Eating speaks of an appetite for the believer, an appetite for Christ. An appetite for Christ. We eat of him. We continually feed on him because we have an appetite for him, an appetite for Christ. More of Christ, more of Christ, more of Christ is the cry, the heart cry of the believer. The old hymn expresses this wonderfully, and I'll date myself a little bit here, but that's okay. The old hymn, tell me the old, old story. Tell me, even in that title, even at that title, expresses this hunger, this appetite for Christ. Tell me the story slowly that I may take it in, that wonderful redemption, God's remedy for sin. Tell me the story often, for I forget so soon. The early dew of morning has passed away at noon. More of Christ, more of Christ, more of Christ. Eating, eating speaks of an appetite for Christ. Secondly, eating speaks of satisfaction. Eating, continually feeding on, speaks of satisfaction. Satisfaction in Christ. For the believer well understands that that appetite of which I spoke just moments ago, that appetite is satisfied only in Christ and nowhere else. Only in Christ is that appetite satisfied. Satisfaction in Christ. And of course, our text tells us this. First of all, it told us this weeks ago in verse 35, as Jesus began to speak of the bread of life. Weeks ago in verse 35, he said the following: I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger. Satisfaction. And he who believes in me shall never thirst. Satisfaction. Satisfaction in Christ. Our text spoke of it back then. Our text speaks of it again today in verses 54 and 55. What's before us even now? Let me read that and hear the satisfaction once again. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Satisfaction. And I will raise him up at the last day. But even more perhaps in verse 55. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Food indeed, Jesus says his flesh is. Drink indeed, Jesus says his blood is. Why food indeed? Why drink indeed? Well, we could understand that as true food, true drink. Why true food? Why true drink? Because of what we've just said. It is true food. It is true drink. Because only in Christ do we find satisfaction. His food, his drink, is the true drink, because it brings satisfaction. Give me Christ. Give me Christ. Give me Christ, the believer says. For only in him is satisfaction. Eating and the word picture helps us understand our faith, our believing in Christ. For it speaks of and expresses satisfaction in Christ. Appetite for Christ, satisfaction in Christ. And now a third and final way where this word picture helps us to understand believing, helps us to understand faith in Christ. It helps us to understand in this way, very clearly, in the next verse, in verse 56. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. And we see here in verse 56 a third way whereby this word picture of eating, of feeding on Christ, helps us understand believing, helps us understand faith, helps us understand believing in deeper ways. For it not only speaks of our appetite for Christ, our satisfaction in Christ, but it also speaks of, here in verse 56, our union with Christ. Our union with Christ, that the believer, this biblical teaching, that the believer through faith is actually united to Christ. And this word picture of eating, of feeding, clearly pictures for us and helps us understand this union with Christ that comes through believing, through faith. For when we think of eating, when we think of an individual feeding or eating, feeding on something, we can see how that individual has something that is, first of all, outside of him, And that thing that is outside of him, by feeding, comes into him and becomes part of him. That is what happens when we eat. That is what happens when we feed. That is what happens through faith, through our believing in Christ. We are united to him. We even speak of eating as partaking of food. For that food, once again, comes into us and becomes part of us. Even so with Christ, even so through faith, we come to be united to Christ. And verse 56 speaks of this, doesn't it? Verse 56 speaks of this. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him, Jesus says. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are united to Christ through faith. We are united to Christ through believing. We are united to Christ through eating, through feeding on him. Appetite for Christ, satisfaction in Christ, union with Christ. This word picture helps us understand believing, helps us understand faith in those three ways at least. We move on. And as Jesus moves on and moves towards a conclusion, and as we move on and move towards a conclusion here, what we see next is something that comes from that union. And for this, Jesus returns, and we return to the initial and primary thought way back last week in 47, that by believing, that the one who believes in him has everlasting life, that there is life in Christ. But now finally, the writer John and Jesus himself, through his words, shows us and reminds us again of this central truth that there is life in him. But now we see it as life in him coming from our union with Christ, our relationship with him, our union with Christ. And that union with Christ, as we have just said, comes by eating, comes through faith, comes through believing. He speaks of this life in Christ coming from our relationship with him. In verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. Jesus here compares the life that the believer knows in Christ to the life that the Son knows because of the Father. Now, what do we mean when we hear these words that the Son lives because of the Father there in verse 57? Well, we understand, and we've talked about this earlier, you might want to turn back, not now, but in the future, this afternoon, turn back and look at chapter 5, verse 26. For we have seen earlier, and are seeing in part again now, that the Father lives not dependent upon anyone. The Father has life in himself. He is self-existent. Likewise, the Son lives. The Son lives not dependent upon anyone or anything else. The Son has life in himself. The Son is self-existent. But we also learned previously, and I'm reminding you again now, that the Son, yes, is self-existent. But the Father grants him, we learned in 5:26, the Father grants him to be self-existent. The Father grants that he has life in himself. That the Father grants that to him. And we see in there the voluntary submission that there is. This submission, this voluntary submission of Son to Father within the triune God. That the Son has life, the Son has life because of the Father, back here in John 6, 57. The Son has life because of the Father, in that the Father has granted him also, in eternity past, granted him to be self-existent. And Jesus makes a comparison to us. Now, we ought not to carry this comparison too far forward, because we are not self-existent. We do not have life in ourselves. But the very point is, we have life in Christ. that we have life just as the Son has life because of the Father, in that the Father has granted him self-existence. We also have life because of the Son. We have life because of him. We have life in him, in our relationship to him, in our union with Christ. Because the Son lives, and because we are united to him, we also live. We have life in the Son. We have life in the bread of life. We have life in Christ because of our union with him through faith, through believing. In conclusion, let's move to a conclusion, for the text does. The text moves to a conclusion in 58 and 59. Verse 59 brings the whole text to an end. And when I say whole text, I don't just mean this week or this week and last week, but I mean going back all the way to the beginning of this discourse, back in John chapter 6 and verse 22. For John here in verse 59 signals the end of this discourse by saying, "These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum." So that's verse 59, signaling the end of our text, and that is why we are ending where we are this morning. And the preceding verse, verse 58, also brings the discourse to an end by providing kind of a summary statement, somewhat of a summary statement. "This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever." Verse 58 sums up today and the last week or two, the last number of weeks, this whole discourse by reminding us, by stating in summary, that Jesus is the bread of life, that he has been sent from heaven, sent from the Father, and he has been sent thus to provide life in him, to provide life in him to all those who have faith, to all those who believe, to all those who eat of this bread. So the text is brought to a conclusion, and we come to our conclusion now. But I would like to conclude this morning in this way. I would like to rather conclude this morning in this way. Believing is more than believing. Believing is more than believing. And with this, I circle back, as I like to do, to my introduction this morning. I circle back there where we noted and took note of the difficult words, the difficult language that Jesus uses in our text this morning when he speaks of eating his flesh, when he speaks of drinking his blood, when he speaks of those things and uses this difficult language, this intense language. And now in conclusion, as I speak of believing is more than believing, let me make this point in conclusion, that this difficult language, this intense language that we have been grappling with throughout our time this morning, the intensity of the language is the point. The intensity, the difficulty, the intensity of the language, the words that Jesus uses, is the point. For by using such intense language, it is Jesus' desire to cause us to sit up and take notice. To sit up and take notice and think about what it means to believe. To think deeply about believing, to think deeply about faith. And to realize that, as I say in conclusion, believing is more than just believing. Believing is more than just believing. For believing as Jesus has presented it to us today, believing as Jesus has presented it to us, is more than what we so often think of in terms of believing. It is more than merely a checklist of facts that we check off, facts about Jesus. That is not believing. Well, it's the beginning of believing. But believing, Jesus wants us to know, is more than that. Believing is more than believing. Believing is an appetite for Christ, an appetite for Christ alone. believing is satisfaction in Christ. Satisfaction in Christ alone. Believing is being united to Christ and abiding in Him. Abiding in Christ and having Christ abide in us. Believing is feeding on Him. Believing is feeding on Him continually because of this appetite, because of the realization that there is satisfaction in Him alone. Believing is feeding on Him and feeding on Him alone. Believing is treasuring Christ and treasuring Christ alone. Treasuring Him above anything or anyone else. Treasuring Him as our only hope in life and in death. For Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." Let's pray. Gracious Father, we pray in conclusion, we ask simply in conclusion, more of Christ, more of Christ, more of Christ. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.